everyone, and welcome to English Evening. Today is Monday, and I am John.
This is 董宁，大家好，欢迎来到中国中央人民广播电台经济之声为您带来的英语之夜节目。John, recently I've heard that white collar bosses in America learn to roll with the punches.
Yeah, and so basically what's happening is that a lot of these white collar workers, right, you know, the difference between white collar and blue collar, right? So usually white collar people work in an office, whereas blue collar people usually work some kind of manual labor like construction or something like that. But for now it seems that quite a few of these white collar workers are turning to boxing for getting fit.
Yes, for getting fit. Not only for getting fit, but also they want to release and have fun. Like bankers, Wall Streeters, and attorneys, and teachers, all kinds of professionals, male and female, are putting on boxing gloves for fitness, escape from their depression, and also release and have fun. Like Muhammad Ali advised, float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. So he probably, wasn't talking to hedge fund managers.
Yeah, exactly. Muhammad Ali was probably, was talking about more like his own personal philosophy. But it seems like quite a few of these white-collar workers are taking up this credo and, you know, putting on these boxing gloves to, like you said, you know, for fun, for fitness, and for a release. The thing is, like, boxing, it's actually a really, really good workout, because not only, like, while you're learning how to box, right, you're also getting a good workout. You're stimulating your cardio, you're increasing your strength, and you're also using your whole body together rather than, like, working on a machine where you just, like, isolate one muscle group.
在美国，职场人士的业余爱好又有一项新的变化，就是他们更愿意去拳击馆而不是去高尔夫球场。像很多的银行家，同时呢还有律师，还有老师，他们更愿意去拳击馆来一展他们的身手。原因就是由于受到金融危机的影响，他们想在拳击馆来减轻自己的压力，寻求逃避的方式。So boxers call it working the floor, shadow boxing, hitting the heavy bags, jumping rope, and routine is an outstanding workout. Simultaneously, cardio, strength, multiple arms and legs together, and hitting something for stress relief.
And it seems like a lot of these boxing gyms are surviving mostly because of business people. You know, it used to be that boxing was quite a popular sport back in, you know, 30s, 40s, 50s, and 60s. And since then, like, the popularity has begun to wane. And so, you know, just regular people, less and less are actually going to these gyms to become boxers. But instead, you know, we found these white-collar workers, these business people, go to these boxing gyms, you know, for a workout rather than becoming a boxer.
And also they say boxing gyms are surviving because of the business people. Now, usually we say you go to the gym because you are very busy and you sometimes the gym is located in the, you know, business building.
Sure.
So it's very easy to go there. And but for now, boxing gyms is a very special one, different from the original, you know, the normal gyms.
Right. Yeah. I mean, a lot of these gyms are actually quite old. There's one example, Gleason's Gym in Brooklyn. This place hasn't been changed since like 1973. That means like they haven't really cleaned. They don't really clean the floors. They don't paint. They don't do anything like that. And it's just, you know, in its original state. And so, like, it's just one of those things, like, if you want to kind of get away from modern life, you know, going to a place like that is a really good choice.
So do you have any experience with boxing?
No, I don't have any experience boxing. However, I have seen quite a few movies. You know, the one actually about Muhammad Ali with Will Smith, and then also Million Dollar Baby with Hilary Swank.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, it seems like a really interesting sport. But also, I think this is, like, you know, boxing, like any other kind of martial art, you might say, is good for fitness. You know, like, if you know, you go to, like, any kind of, like, martial arts training center, you're going to get, like, a very similar workout as you would with boxing. 'Cause the cool thing about stuff like that is not only, you know, are you working out, but you're also working towards something, right? Because like when you get into the ring, you can spar with a partner or something like that. You
mm-hmm.
can have like a pretend match. And so it's not just, I'm working out just because I want to look better and feel better. It's also because, you know what, I want to be able to fight better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and also I heard that if you learn boxing, that you can, through this way, you can have a good temper.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, because what happens with boxing, it's like you get into the ring and maybe you're kind of arrogant and you think that you're really good and that you already know how to box, but then you get into the ring and, you know, someone gives you a black eye or knocks out a tooth or something like that, then that actually can be quite humbling, right? And you realize that, wait a second, if you want to do well in boxing, right, you can't rely on your temper. Actually, you have to be quite calculated in how you box and the technique that you use. Because that's the thing, even though it is about force and about power, right, you can't rely just on your emotions to be a good boxer.
Yeah, and also, aside from boxing, I also heard that in Japan there's a kind of a game that you throw away plays.
Oh, yeah.
So this way you can also release a lot of pressure, and if you're very angry about something or somebody or some anything else, you can throw the plays to a very specific location.
Yeah, exactly. I think we talked about this like a few months ago.
Even. Yes.
But yeah, so like in Japan, just to refresh our readers, there is like this new business in Japan where like you just go into like this trailer or something like that and just choose like pottery and plates and cups and stuff, and you can just throw them and smash them and let out your anger.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so there's another survey that indicates if you are looking very good, then your scores will be much better than an ordinary looking.
Sure, yeah, and so this is the thing, right? We're just talking about boxing, and the problem with boxing, of course, is that, you know, you get hit in the face every once in a while, and so maybe, you know, afterwards you don't look as good. Like, you've seen some of, like, the professional boxers are actually quite ugly now, but there have been some studies showing that there is such a thing as lookism, right? And so instead of, like, racism or any other kind of ism, I suppose. Lookism is the idea that people who look better will actually have an easier life from, you know, being treated well by the teachers, getting higher test scores, as well as, you know, just better health treatment.
Okay, so the study showing that the personal appearance shapes not only people's attitude toward our talents, but our ability to make money as well. So being good-looking directly increases the chances that you make a lot of money on the job compared with people who aren't attractive based on reading of photographs by unbiased observers.
Sure. And a lot of the testing like also goes along with charisma, I think. You know, and charisma is like the personality characteristic that helps other people like you. Like, for example, Barack Obama.
根据像最新的研究显示，人的外表不仅会影响人们对我们才能的评价，同时呢还影响着挣钱的能力。应用心理学期刊最近公布的一份研究显示，按照无偏见观察人士对图片的评分来看，与外表没有吸引力的人相比，外表出众会直接增加你在工作上多挣钱的机会。So, do you agree with this one?
Well, sure. I mean, like, it definitely makes a lot of sense. It's easier to treat good-looking people better than it is to treat, average people.
Yeah, that's why we always say the first impression is very important.
Sure.
If you, for example, let's say an interview, if you wear very properly and very decent to, you know, to meet the HR people, maybe they would have a good impression on
right.
you. So there would be increased the chance of you making more money.
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, first impressions really are important. I mean, like personally, I don't quite believe in first impressions, you know, because, you know, as you get to know someone, you know them better, and it turns out your first impression is going to be a little bit wrong. But at the same time, I mean, like, in terms of getting a job, you know, finding a girlfriend or a boyfriend or, you know, whatever, first impressions are actually quite important because these things really do stick with people, so...
The authors make a compelling case based on previous research that good-looking people get more of almost every good thing from birth, from medical attention in the hospital after birth,
sure.
and to positive treatment in school from both teachers and peers. And this leads to a positive spiral towards a better self-image and higher attainment through life.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And so that's the thing. I mean, like, this thing is, it's not because people do it because they're like, oh, this person looks good, this person looks bad. It's much more of an unconscious thing. Like, people don't mean to do it. It just kind of happens. And the thing is, I want our listeners to keep in mind that it's not only about good looks, you know, like I was saying. It's also about your personality, right? There's something inside of you that, you know, especially when it comes to first impressions, that you want to come out and so people can see. Because it's not always just about how you look. It's also about how you carry yourself and, like, the words you use and, you know, the tone you use and stuff like that.
Yeah, sometimes when we first meet a person and we had a good impression on her or him,
mm-hmm.
but when we still, you know, need time to get to know him,
right,
or her, so you have been to be a good you know, a good personality.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's just one of those things. Again, when it comes to especially jobs, I mean, like, jobs is the most important. But also, I mean, like, so, I mean, when you, like, for example, you're looking for a job and you were talking about first impressions, I mean,
mm-hmm.
it's not only going to be how you look. Like, for example, maybe I dress really, really well. I'm only wearing Armani and, you know, like, just, you know, really, really nice tie, nice pants and stuff like that. But then at the same time, I'm really boring. Well, then that's still going to be a bad impression.
Mm. Well, speaking of beauty, I would say, like, a Latin American girl is very beautiful. Right?
Yeah, sure. They, uh-huh. they can be actually quite good looking, I have to say.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so like, Latin American countries, for now, they seek to boost tourism, like Argentina, Cuba, Brazil, and Venezuela began a two-day meeting to work out a unified criterion to boost tourism in Latin America and the Caribbean recently. Yeah, I've heard that Latin America is a really, really beautiful place to go. There's a lot of countries like Argentina, like Cuba, like Brazil, and Venezuela. It's, you know, full of Amazon rainforest,
mm-hmm,
over there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's very attractive and good to go there. Also, they declare one of the seven nature wonders of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
So have you ever been there?
No, I haven't. But I lived in Miami for a while, and so I've come in contact with quite a few.
Close to there.
Yes, it's actually quite close. Yeah.
Okay, for now, let's move on to words of the economy. 接下来我们来解析经济词汇。First one is economical housing. Economical housing 就是经济适用房的意思。
Housing sold at low prices to low income earners to get them affordable shelters. Starting in 1998, the central government decided to offer favorable policies to housing developers so that they could build apartments of specified sizes and prices. Families with living floor space or income under given standards could apply for purchasing the apartments at prices much lower than the market prices. Eligibility standards for purchasing economical housing are set by provincial authorities according to local situations. Economical housing is subject to special clauses for trading in the market, which discourage profiting from the property. It is an integrated part of the state efforts to shelter groups with limited financial resources.
Mm-hmm. Okay, second one is iron rice bowl. Iron rice bowl 就是我们经常说的铁饭碗的意思。
A guaranteed job many Chinese people dreamed of getting during the era of the planned economy. People didn't need to worry about their future once they gained a post, usually in government departments and state or collectively run factories. But since the reform and opening up was adopted in 1978, and the new labor system and the market economy came into being, such a stable employment model, which hindered people's creativity to a large extent, has gradually been shattered. The establishment of the new and competitive employment model has contributed a lot to the country's productivity and its rapid development.
Okay, and that was today's Words of the Economy. For now, let's move on to Studio Classroom.
Welcome, friends, to Studio Classroom Worldwide. My name is Steve. Thanks for joining us today to study English. Friends, I need to warn you, this month's food article is going to be a little different from most. No, we're not going to discuss different cuisines or expensive spices. we're going to explore the world of insects, which ones to eat, how to eat them, and we'll even talk a little about how nutritious they are. Three words to preview before we start this delicious lesson. The first word is estimate. My dad estimated it will take 9 hours to drive from here to Seattle. Next is the word species, as in dogs are Jennifer's favorite animal species. And lastly, the very important word, protein. Meat, eggs, and peanut butter are good sources of protein. Okay, our reading begins on page 34, so please open your magazines and join us as we get started.
Some spell delicious, I-N-S-E-C-T. Eating things that creep and crawl isn't all that unusual. If you had to choose between a juicy steak and an ant larva taco, which would you choose? For some of you, there is no choice. You'd take the steak. Yet many people in Asia, Africa, and Latin America enjoy insects as an important food source. Experts estimate that half the people in the world include insects in their diet. The creepy crawlies are not only tasty, but also nutritious. Many species of insects are high in protein and low in fat.
Hi friends, I'm Chip.
I'm Rachel.
And I'm Chelsea. Thanks for joining us today. We are going to be looking at our food article, and we have got an interesting one for you today. Today, we are going to be going through some spell delicious, I-N-S-E-C-T. I'm a little confused. Can you guys help me out with this? That's not how I spell delicious.
Me either. In fact, the word you just spelled is the word insect. You know, like bugs? And some people think bugs are delicious. That's not how I spell delicious.
That's not how I spell delicious either. But some people think that eating bugs and eating insects is delicious. And our deck says that eating things that creep and crawl, that means crawling very close to the ground, isn't all that unusual. For me, it's unusual.
So I have a question for the two of you. If you had to choose between a juicy steak and an ant larva taco, which would you choose? I'm going to go with the juicy steak.
I'm probably going to go with the steak, too. I don't know.
I don't even like steak that much, but I'd still go with the steak because eating an ant larva taco sounds really strange to me, but I'm not quite sure what that is. I know what little ants are. Chip, what's the larva?
Okay, well, a larva is a stage that an insect goes through when he grows up. So it's after the bug hatches out of the egg and before the bug has become an adult bug, then it goes through this stage called a larva. And often a larva might look like a worm or something like that.
So if you had to choose between a juicy steak and an ant larva taco, which would you choose?
So people are eating insects. Well, who eats insects, and where in the world are these people who eat the insects? Well, our article says that many people in Asia, Africa, and Latin America enjoy insects as an important food source. That means that they consider insects to be a very important food in their diet.
And a lot of people eat insects. In fact, experts estimate that half the people in the world include insects in their diet. Half the people in the world. So that means a lot of people, millions and millions of people, are eating insects on a regular basis.
So when we say that somebody estimates something, we are saying that they are judging something in size or value, or they're taking a guess without really having an exact amount.
So if I were to estimate your height, I would say that you both are around, I don't know, maybe 5 feet tall, and which would probably be about 150 centimeters. Is that about right?
Actually, your estimate is a little off, Chip. Okay. I'm a little bit taller than 5 feet. I'm about 5'4", so I think I would estimate my height to be closer to 160 centimeters. Okay. Same with Chelsea.
Same with me. That is a good estimate. It's a good guess.
Nice job. Okay. Well, either way, a lot of people eat a lot of insects, half the world, and the creepy crawlies are not only tasty, but they're also nutritious. Now, we just use that phrase, creepy crawlies, and this is kind of a fun way to refer to bugs. You might think of it, actually, as bugs creeping and crawling along the earth, so we call them creepy crawlies. And we see here, Chelsea, that they're nutritious.
Yes, they are nutritious. In fact, many species of insects are high in protein and low in fat. And when we're talking about species, we are talking about a group of plants or animals that are so similar that they are able to breed or able to have babies together or create more plants. So these insects come in different species, and many of them are nutritious or good for your health.
And it sounds like many of these species are high in protein and low in fat. Now, protein is a very important thing that your body uses to repair and to make new cells. So if you want big muscles, you need to eat a lot of protein.
That's right. And usually when I think of protein, I think of sources like meat or eggs or cheese. Those foods are high in protein. But so are insects, and they're low in fat, so they sound kind of like a health food to me.
Welcome back, friends. I hope this lesson isn't too gross for you. It can be a little disgusting. Eating insects might sound disgusting, but there are millions of people around the world who eat insects every day. Maybe you're one of them. Or maybe you don't eat them every day, but you've tried them before and thought, hey, they're not bad. Let's visit Thailand, Ghana, and South America and see which insects they eat. After we look at the last key word of the day, it's the verb harvest, as in the fall, the farmer harvested all the corn and wheat in his field. Okay, this portion of the lesson begins over on the left-hand side of page 35. Please join us now as we continue with the reading.
Some spell delicious, I-N-S-E-C-T. In Thailand, street markets offer silkworms, grasshoppers, and water bugs. People in Ghana roast or fry termites or bake them into bread. In South America, moviegoers can buy roasted ants to eat instead of popcorn. With 3 times the protein of beef, mopane caterpillars are a favorite food in southern Africa. Some cook them in a stew with tomatoes and onions, and some eat them dried as a snack. The worms must be harvested from the mopane trees, cooked and dried in the sun. Then they are ready to enjoy.
So we've been learning about all of these delicious insects that people all over the world eat as part of their diets and for nutrition. So let's take a trip around the world right now and find out exactly what types of bugs people are eating in different countries. Rachel, if you were to travel to Thailand, what might you be able to eat?
Well, if you were in Thailand, you could easily find some silkworms or grasshoppers or even water bugs. And you'll find these in the street markets. These bugs are plentiful. They are everywhere. So Thailand's not too far away, is it? You can go there and enjoy some delicious bugs.
That's right. You can get bugs in Thailand, or you could also eat bugs in Ghana. In Ghana, people roast or fry termites, or they bake them into the bread. Now, termites are an insect that you probably don't want in your home if you're not eating them, because termites are the little bugs that eat wood. So they destroy a lot of homes, actually.
And if neither of those sound very tasty to you, you could also go to South America. And in South America, moviegoers can buy roasted ants to eat instead of popcorn. Now, a moviegoer would be a person who goes to see a movie. That's a noun form that we use sometimes. We might also say a churchgoer is a person who goes to church. So if you go to a movie in South America, you could buy some ants to eat instead of popcorn.
I'm sure they're nice and crunchy. Maybe they're kind of like peanuts or something. That's very interesting to me. Well, with three times the protein of beef, mopane caterpillars are a favorite food in southern Africa. So now we've moved to southern Africa, and we're talking about caterpillars. And did you catch the point that they have a lot of protein? Three times the protein of beef? That is really hard for me to imagine because it's just this little tiny caterpillar.
Yes, three times the protein of beef. And I'm sure much less fat than beef would have. So a much healthier snack. Now that word caterpillars is one of our more information words. A caterpillar is actually a larva, and it's a butterfly larva. So it's that stage between hatching out of the egg and an adult or a mature butterfly. And a caterpillar, as a lot of larvae do, a caterpillar looks a lot like a worm.
So how do people eat these caterpillars? Well, some cook them in a stew with tomatoes and onions, and some eat them dried as a snack. Now these worms must be harvested from the mopane trees, so when we harvest something, what are we talking about doing?
Well, we're talking about gathering it, like you would gather a crop that is ripe. So once they are ripe and ready to be harvested or gathered, they are taken off the trees and then they are cooked and dried in the sun. So you can have your caterpillars in several ways. Chip, would you want yours dried as a snack or cooked in a stew?
Ooh, that is a tough decision. I mean, that assumes that I would want these and that I would think that they taste good. I think probably cooked. I think I would probably want them cooked with some other foods in a stew. Maybe that would help me forget that I'm actually eating some bugs.
I'm curious to take the trip to South America so I can go to a movie and eat some roasted ants. That's so fascinating to me. I enjoy having popcorn when I eat or when I watch a movie, but to eat ants would be a completely different experience, I'm sure.
I agree. Well, friends, we hope that you have enjoyed today's lesson. Have you ever eaten insects? If you have, we would love to hear from you. You can write to us here at Studio Classroom and tell us about some insects you've tried and whether they were tasty and nutritious or not. Please join us next time as we continue learning about edible insects.
You know, for me, the idea of eating insects is strange. I'm just not used to it, but I think I could get used to it if all the insects I ate were deep fried with a little bit of salt added. Actually, that's how many Chinese people eat their insects, but which ones are they eating? Tomorrow we'll find out. Friends, before we go, I want to call your attention to the chart there at the top of page 35. There you'll find the names of some popular insects. Some may be more delicious than others. You'll find the names in Chinese and English. And I suspect you'll find that a handy reference as we continue our lesson about eating things that creep and crawl. Friends, it's time to go. So from all of us here at Studio Classroom Worldwide, we hope that you have a delicious day. Bye-bye, everyone.
本节目由吉林省空中英语教室杂志社提供。 也可登录相关网站收听当日广播教学节目。本节目配套杂志播讲 MP3 在全国各大书店有售，并可在当地邮局订阅。
Alrighty, and that was Studio Classroom, which tells us we are at the end of this evening's edition of English evening. But once again, we do appreciate you guys listening, and don't forget to tune in tomorrow at the same time.
See you tomorrow.
瑞士天梭表为您报时，传承经典工艺，启迪非凡创意。瑞士天梭表，时间任你穿梭。
北京时间22:00。